Hypermanic noise.
Hello, fine freaks. You're listening to the Hypermanic Noise podcast, and I'm your host, Douglas Harvey. This week's guest is my favorite Kiwi, John Ryan. He's the vocalist for Bunbury's death metal outfit, Suffering Rot, and they've just released a new EP titled Beat the Fetus. Suffering Rot have been gigging relentlessly, and they've performed at the Hammersonic Festival in Indonesia, and alongside such awesome bands as Immolation, King Parrot, Disentomb, Make Them Suffer, Advent Sorrow, just too many to mention. John is a hilarious little bastard, and we had a great time hanging out. We got into a bunch of different topics, from what's happening next with Suffering Rot, we got deep into the topic of extreme metal songwriting, and we start the show off with a bloke who bangs his car. Hey, John even puts me on the spot to find out if I'd ever eat human flesh. It's another insane episode, and there's even a chance John Ryan will talk you into becoming a cannibal. Enjoy the show, and as John Ryan would say, socks, socks, socks.
Podcast initiation sequence. Headphones. Check. Beer status. Cold and tasty. Check. Penis function. Hard, but unimpressive. Check. Podcast initiation complete. Warning. This episode may cause brain damage. Hypermanic noise.
Okay, I'm here with John Ryan from Suffering Rot. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yourself?
Fucking good, man. Alright, I always like to start the show off with a clip. And I feel like you might be the man to be the expert on this topic.
See what we got.
So this is a guy that fucks his car.
Why would you fuck a car when there's so many good animals?
My name's Daniel. And I'm in a serious relationship with my car.
Morning, baby. My handsome man.
Nathaniel is in a committed relationship with a car that he's named Chase. He met Chase in a resale lot about 5 years ago.
How does the car give it to him? Does he like ride the gear stick or something?
Or the tailpipe? You'd have to make sure it was nice and cool before you put your dick in there.
Love you, baby.
Say it was love at first sight. His body and then his interior and everything just together just seemed to fit. And I just felt an instant connection.
I wonder if he's got a gaping ass. You know those ones that can turn their ass inside out?
Nathaniel's obsession first developed as a teenager when he would build model cars. But he didn't find true love until he met Chase.
I find this part of him the most sexy just because of the subtle lines and curves. I'll give him a kiss here and just kind of caress him down the side.
I don't think I've ever seen Michael Schumacher give his Ferrari a blowjob or anything like that.
My initial reaction was, I was kind of shocked.
Well, that's his
it
house,
it was kind of weird because it was just hard to understand.
She's worse looking than the car.
Yeah, but you'd still call it like a girl, though. Why would it be a dude?
Oh, fuck if I know. Why would, like, how why could, would... but is it gay if it's a car?
Well, he's kissing it. It's only gay if you kiss.
Yeah, well, true.
If you push back, you just enjoy it.
Honestly, I don't know why I feel the way I do. But I just absolutely love Chase. We always have such a good time together. He likes a lot of the same music I do. We have.
I love that. He likes the same music.
Yeah, right? I was just thinking, how, you know, like, does it say good morning?
Favorite song. It's Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon. I do get him gifts. How you'd buy something for your fiance or your wife. And then usually for his birthday, I try to do something special for him too. The favorite day would be going to the lookout area. Just lean against him a little.
Well, the car loves
just
lookouts.
Be with him, mainly.
Look at the motion in the car's eyes.
But Nathaniel's relationship with Chase goes beyond dates and presents.
Here we go.
We have our times when we get sexual.
Does that feel good? You're a handsome man.
Just an R18 car porn.
Love you, baby.
He's not faking this, eh? That's legit. Yeah. He's getting hard as fuck.
So what you reckon, like, he, like, roots it in the, like, exhaust pipe, which would be kind of the only place to do it, or the dipstick, if he's got a real small dick.
Yeah, give it a nice oil check.
Yeah. Do you reckon he just jerks off and then rubs it all over the seat and tries to get his car pregnant?
I don't know.
Is it a 69 model? A Mazda Beta 69.
What we do the most often is I like to lean over his fender and across his hood and do little things like that and kind of press up against him and just rub against him like that. One of his more bold positions is for me to be underneath him.
Oh, like he's right under it now.
He really likes that.
Make it out.
It's very special to make love to Chase.
I am worried for my friend because it's not normal. And you may have people that don't understand and make fun of you.
Nathaniel's so attached to Chase, he rarely lets anyone Chase. Else drive him.
Car Chase.
And never lets Chase out of his sight.
Well, I don't like the color, but it's not a too bad a looking color.
There have been times it brought tears to my eyes because I wasn't with him. At work, his picture's on my desktop, so I see his face all the time.
His face.
It really bothers me when he gets dinged or scratched. If something were to happen to Chase, my heart would just stop. I just have to gather myself here. I'm sorry for all that.
Really, man? I'm sure you could trick your flatmate into having a sex or something. Maybe he's got no motivation, no pride about himself.
Well, that's obvious.
I am concerned for Nathaniel emotion-wise. I think life would be easier if he did change.
Love you.
Nathaniel's roommate, Kim, is one of the few people who know the full extent of his love life.
I love this bit here, man.
I guess the reason I don't tell a lot of people is because I don't know the response I'm gonna get.
You put it on TV, dickhead. We found it.
The response is gonna be roughly what we're saying. How do you fuck it and how does the car fuck you? Is this just a one-way thing? Do you actually jerk the car off so, like, oil comes out on the, you know, a manifold or something like that?
I always worry about that little bit of disgust that somebody may have.
But Nathaniel's biggest fear is how his relationship could affect his career as a customer service technician.
I mean, if everybody found out, I'd be worried that it may affect my job. But I love him to death. I wouldn't trade him for the world.
Good night, baby. Love you.
Well, I don't see it as true love anyway, because he'd have to find a way to get it into the house and sleep with it in the bed.
Well, I guess we'll never know.
Take two. For the second episode of it that came out.
Alright, yeah, that's cool.
So, how does he feel when he takes the car in for a service? Does he feel jealous of the mechanic?
Touching it.
Yeah.
Changing its oils, his lubricating it.
Yeah, lubricating it.
Lubricating it, making sure the gears don't grind. Maybe he likes the car to grind.
I wonder if he's got to, I wonder if the mechanic gets paid extra to get all the cum out of everything. Like, if you were detailing that car.
He went over it with one of those, like, police light things, UV lights.
Oh,
you need sunglasses to see what's going on.
It'd be like a one of those fucking, like, tripper nightclubs where all the goths go and it's all neon and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love how they both like the same music. That's cool.
Well, you know, it's good that what I've seen is that they share similar
interests,
feelings and interests, yeah. and have the same lookout that they like, you know, and that, you know, if in this day and age with all the bestiality and other shit that's going on, why not love your car like that?
Oh, who gives a shit?
Yeah, you know, like,
it's not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
But
it's not, but at least it gives us something to talk about.
Exactly.
Something to go, fuck, dude, seriously, man.
Yeah. I feel a lot better about my life right now.
Maybe he's more metal than all of us.
Well, he was listening to REO Speedwagon. They're not a bad band back in the day.
You know.
But Chase the car likes it, so maybe it's a compromise.
Well, you know.
Maybe he'd rather listen to Suffer and Rot, but the car just won't handle it that heavy.
Maybe because the car vibrates too much and gets off on it.
Yeah, he's got to pull over. Too much groove.
The car's shaking itself to climax. Overheating.
Jesus Christ. Man, I've always loved watching you guys live. I worked at that All Ages gig recently. And you guys played.
That's a good show.
And your banter in between songs is generally the most vile, disgusting shit known to man, right?
Making me blush.
Yeah, thanks. And I love it. But when you did that kids show, and you were doing, like, Mother's Rape was, what was that? Mother's
Cake.
Cake.
Ever tried Cold Drill?
Yeah.
Rooster Rot, Interference of the Cookie Jar.
Instead of Interference of the Corpse, right? Yeah.
And the Rotting Lunchbox.
Yeah.
The only one that kind of pissed me off a little bit, because when I got after the night, I'm thinking back, and the only one that I didn't really have anything for was Ripped at the Crutch. That kind of pissed me off, because when I thought about it, I could have brought it in, like, oh, you know, when you're in class and doing PE or something like that, and you go to pick the ball up and your pants rip at their crutch. So I could have brought it in that way, the funny side of ripping your pants and all the kids pointing and laughing at you.
Yeah.
Just to interact with everybody, man, and I think that's was more of the goal for that show with us, was to really let kids know that, yeah, man, there is some brutal music out there, but by no means that's the person that does it, you know. Trying to educate them, you know. It's cool to be brutal and wrote all these horrible fucking disgusting songs, but that doesn't mean that's who you are.
No. Well, I found it funny, right? I watched this documentary on, you know, Ted Bundy, serial killer. And the day before he went to the chair, he wanted to share a message with the world, so he gave an interview. And in the interview, he blamed pornography for turning him into what he is.
Yeah, right.
And I've watched a lot of pornography, and I've never cut a chick's head off and fucked it.
No, me neither. Then again, I've never fucked a car as well.
Well, true.
I will say, though, I have properly masturbated him on quite a bit. Whilst driving on long journeys, what is she going to do?
Well, man? We've all done that.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
But were you thinking about the car?
No, I was thinking about the truck next to me, hoping he's not fucking looking in, seeing what's going on. I don't give out free shows, mate, you know?
Yeah.
No free shows. Yeah, no. But yeah.
There you go. I think later on, I like the look of your car out there, man.
Mm. You can fuck that hard, it's Rapids.
All right, would you be jealous? Would he be jealous, more to the point?
I think we'd stand there more in shock, and we'd have to get a bit of a video evidence of this to add to the podding cast of the situation that we're facing.
That would be the most viewed thing I ever put in life.
We should do it. We should go out there and, like, tag team at one at each end.
They call that the Dyson. So were you in a band before Suffering Rot?
I was in a couple of bands in New Zealand. My first band I was in was called Christian Combustion.
All right, nice.
And it was like my first one, and I was really young, like 15, 16, and it was sort of like black metal type of music and real fast drumming, but with my gutturals over the top. And it didn't really sit that good, and being the first band of that, they never last for too long. And then I did start another band in Tauranga called Rotten Blood.
All right.
And that was probably a bit more successful in the way of playing shows and more learning what I can do with my voice and things like that. I always sort of like jumped in and helped bands out, like DIC over home from Tauranga, a really good band. Who was those other dudes? Terraform, I used to help them sing a couple of songs and shit like that. But yeah, then when I come to Aussie, it took me a long time, man, to find the people to actually work with, you know. I think a lot of people underestimate how hard it is.
Oh, fuck
yeah. Actually, the hardest part of a band is finding guys that you can work with, man.
And coordinating everybody.
Yeah, and everyone's on the same page and the same level. Like, there are heaps of fucking musos out there, we all know that.
Mm.
But can you work with them? And it's not just doing an album, you know, like, hopefully you get tours and you can put an album together and everyone can sit down, have a drink and smoke home, whatever else, and still get on and be mates.
Yeah.
And that's easily gone with, you know, a few shows, and maybe they're not getting enough recognition or being in the band as maybe like the front man or the guitarist, but and things. So, you know, egos and shit can, you know, which is really sad, man. And, you know, but that's the realness of it, man.
Well,
you know, my job is to be a fucking show pony, man.
Yeah.
You know, and entertain people. That's what my job is as a front man, you know, and to deliver. And I try to bring something different to the Perth scene with those little skits and being viral, fucking disgusting in between each thing. And I think they helped us quite a lot, and to make us be more approachable. And, you know, because someone, oh man, that was funny that you said about, you know, fucking your mum and things like that. You know, it's an opener for people that haven't seen you before to come and talk to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And making people feel welcome and, you know, come on in, you know, like.
Well, it's not just being able to write music together and get along. you've also got to have people that if you say, all right, we've been offered a big show in Melbourne.
Yeah.
You've got to have everyone say, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah.
In my band, that was what killed us. We were getting all these big spots. You know, we played with I Killed the Prom Queen and then like a bunch of bands we should have never been on the bill with, like Cog, Kiss Chasey, Gyroscope, Youth Group, you know, Forever Young. Yeah. We were on the fucking bill with them playing, you know, death metal, thrash metal.
Yeah.
But we were just the biggest band in town.
Yeah.
One of the guys was a pothead and didn't have his license till he was like 26. One of the guys now does webcam porn. What, like, they're just fucking, musicians are generally fucking idiots, like, as far as, they don't have their shit together. They're creative.
No, they don't. They don't. That's it. And you try to get four or five people that don't have their shit together
Exactly.
To produce music and to actually,
get it somewhere.
And it's hard work, man. You know, I don't know a lot of the avenues and shit, you know, like, fuck, I'd just love to play with, like, obviously my favourite band, Cannibal Corpse, and to do, you know, one tour, man, if I could do, like, a Europe tour or an American tour, I'd be fucking happy, eh? Yeah, you know, and I don't know the avenues to go through, I don't know all these fucking things, so you just keep, you know, sponsoring shit, throwing it out there, try to keep active, keep people knowing, then hopefully one day some dude's gonna go, hey, well, fuck, they're kind of alright, let's see what these boys can do, you know, it's, if I could travel the world doing music every day and not get paid, and have no money, but everything sorted, dude, I'd be off, man. Hey, you know, music really is my passion, like you say, for us to organise, and for any band to organise doing big shows. You know, everyone's got mortgages, kids, bills, fucking, you know, just because you're playing a band and you're doing a few shows, that don't mean fucking bills and that stop, you know, like.
And you can be the hardest working band, you can have your shit together, you can have the merch, you can have the killer album, but you still need that lucky break.
Yeah.
Everyone. And it's the same in comedy.
Yeah.
I know so many comedians that are fucking awesome. And if they got the right tour, they could be Jim Jefferies.
Yeah,
But they just haven't got the right tour.
That sucks, man. There is, you know, I think another thing that done suffer a lot of goodness is that we're from Bunbury. We weren't in a Perth band, you know. We're not trying to be fucking 50 million miles an hour and be technical as fuck and, you know, like, Christ, you can't do that anyway. You got so many good bands up here that just smash you in the face. You know, we wanted to do the old school death metal. We wanted to be chunky. We can go a million miles an hour. There's no problem. But, you know, just to have something different to play. And I enjoy it as well. I can do a lot more with my voice.
Yeah.
A lot of people can sit back at the bar and go, hey, man, I don't know what that little cunt's saying, but fuck, that's some fat music, man. That's chunky, you know. Makes you nod your head and hopefully spill your beer or whisker, you know. That's kind of what we try to grasp and get from it, you know, instead of being a million miles an hour because...
Well, it's not even Perth. There's a huge component of the metal community and it's like this mentality of, look how good I can play.
Mm.
They're not... Like Carcass was the perfect band to prove that that's not the way to go.
That's right.
It brutal, fast, extreme. The drumming was every fucking song they did, the drumming was exactly what the riff needed.
Yeah.
It wasn't a guy, fucking Ken Owen, wasn't blasting 4,000 beats a minute just to show that he could.
Yeah.
He played to the riff.
Yeah.
The bass played to the guitar. The vocals played to the rest of it.
Yeah. It all sits in and that's how it should be done, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Immolation, another wicked fucking band that spits it out like that as well, you know.
Yeah.
Their shit's chunky as, man, you know. Just heard some of the Cannibal Corpse new stuff as well and, you know.
Obituary? Super technical?
You know what I like about Obituary? It's fucking John's voice, man.
Yeah.
It's so unique.
Yeah.
You can put that dude on anywhere in any band and, you know.
You know, it's
his voice is just so bang, instant, fuck, I know you. You know, that's what I really, I've never seen Obituary play on.
So good. I got shit-faced with them in Hamburg one night and it was one of the coolest nights of my life.
Yeah.
I was texting all my mates back home. It was me, the Soundworks guys and Obituary.
Yeah, working.
And I was texting them just like, dude, I've got Ralph Santola who played on Iced Earth's Great Burden album. Buy me shots. This is the most bizarre fucking shit.
Yeah, man, it would be.
I pissed the bed that night.
I'll be lucky enough to meet Cannibal Corpse, and when I first seen them play in New Zealand, I was lucky enough to backstage passes and hang out and talk with them and drink on the streets and that with George and that, which is really cool, you know. And and when you do talk to those guys and that, you know, they really are the most straight up coolest cunts, you know. They've got time for you, that they're quite happy to listen to your stories and give you bits of advice and things like that, you know, like yeah, each time I see Cannibal Corpse, and then I get super excited and kind of blank out and just windmill the fuck out of it, you know, like,
yeah,
it's...
Well, you guys have definitely got, you've adopted their approach of, like, Cannibal Corpse's drummer, he's no, by no means the best drummer in metal, but does his drumming suit Cannibal Corpse's songs?
Oh, that's what it's all about, though.
Yeah, exactly. But that's... there's too many bands that are just... Yeah. It's like, okay, cool, man. You can sweep pick like a motherfucker. Yeah. But there's nothing in this.
Yeah.
Like, there's bands I watch, and I'll watch five or six songs, and when I, after it, I'm like, there's nothing there. But I can watch one of Cannibal Corpse's songs, and I'll be like, I remember that third song they played that went... It's got the hook, and that's where pop music... That's how pop music functions. It's all they have is that vocal hook.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with metal, you've got the riff, you've got the drum beat. They work out ways of hooking you in into something that's so fucking brutal.
Yeah.
But still catchy as shit.
Yeah, well, that's the joys of being a fucking brilliant muso and working with the same people for so many years. That's how bands are successful, man. You know, like The Throne and that, they're fucking doing wicked as fuck, you know. King Parrot are absolutely fucking destroying it at the moment, you know. And these are all wicked guys, and they're all bands that I look up to, man. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to be international on that. Matt Young as a frontman is just a fucking beast, mate.
That whole band.
You know, they're just, and not that, they're super duper cool cunts as well. Yeah, you know, like...
And again, back to what we're saying, they write fucking songs.
Yeah.
And those songs are as just fucking brutal as a cunt. But at the end of it, even if you don't understand what he's saying, you'll be going, driving home, going,
just doing the goldfish, as they call it. This day, whatever, man. Doing so the goldfish. Good. I went and ordered their... shit pack that came I ordered two instead, so they're at the Capel post office waiting for me. I shall be collecting them on Monday tomorrow.
You bought two by mistake.
Yeah,
I'll fucking buy the other one off you if you don't want to.
Yeah, well, I was actually thinking the missus has already put a thing in, but you know, I like to have shit in mint condition.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like, I've got one of Malignant Monsters, the ones that they had stamped with the wax in that. I saw them open mine, and it's signed,
cool.
Yeah, it's signed, but I saw them open that, you know. I've got heaps of memorabilia things that I just don't open, you know.
Yeah.
Type of fucking...
I get it, man.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a lot of vinyls that I'll only open to get them signed.
Yep.
Like, tonight, Brujeria, I'm getting that motherfucker signed.
Yeah, I fucking got Carcass, one signed three times.
Yeah.
Them. Like, why do you always get us to sign this? Ah, fuck up and do it, man. Hey, it's good fun, man. They are cool.
Something I find funny about you is you're basically exclusively into brutal metal.
Yeah.
And Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Iron Maiden is actually the band that made me into the fucking animal that I am today. I used to be a little homie dude, walk around with baggy pants and fucking have a knife on you, think you're fucking Tupac or Snoop Dogg or some shit like that. And then it was actually my older brother that came home and put on Run to the Hills, and as soon as I heard it, man, fuck, that was it. I was just straight into black, man, that was it. Grow my hair long, fuck all this crip gangster shit, fuck, and that can all go. And started getting into Iron Maiden, then it was a pretty big transaction. I didn't go through all these different stages of thrash metal and all this other stuff. I just went from fucking Iron Maiden straight to Cannibal Corpse, and that was it.
That's hilarious.
And to be honest, that was my transaction. The first band I ever did hear, though, was Gore Guts Considered Dead. And I'm like, holy shit, this is pretty loose. And my mate was singing it. I'm like, you can actually do that with your voice. And then I got played Hammer Smash Face, and that was it, man. Honestly, from there, probably I was talking like this, man.
Yeah.
For about 12 months, 18 months, just to teach myself how to work my vocals and that, you know. And even now I'm still learning how to do. Oh, I'm a lot more confident now jumping on stage.
Well, there's learning to make the sounds, and then there's learning to make the sounds and with the ability to do a show the next day.
Yeah.
I got to a point with my band where I could do five shows in 5 days.
Yeah.
But at the start, I'd need a week break in between because... Just blow your voice out.
Oh, fuck that, man. I reckon I could do it every day until I fucking die. Yeah. Half an hour set, an hour set, give me 12 hours to recover. Sweet, man.
I was doing falsettos and shit, though.
The full thing with me, though, is if you can't hear yourself and you have to push,
that's the problem.
That's when you're going to start hurting your vocal cords and that for me. But I also warm up. I use honey and blood. to warm up, you know, and I'll spend a good 10, 15 minutes to warming my throat up, you know, and mentally getting prepared. You can't go out there and just be from normal to a complete and explosive animal. There needs to, especially because I'm a show pony and that, you know, I've got to, there is a lot of mentalness that go into it. And I could be having a shit day or fight with the missus or the fucking, whatever, man, just having a kind of a day as people do, but yet you still got to go out there.
Yeah.
And put on a show and be that happy little fucking half-naked dude and, you know, fuck bodies and destroy people and, you know, put out there, everyone, it's a good time, let's do this, man, you know, so there is a lot of mental, for me anyway, you know, I'm a bit of a fucking idiot with shit like that, but definitely got to warm up and that, you just can't, you know, I can't anyway.
I used to have to, I mean, in my band, we range from, like, at the gates sort of screaming vocals to Judas Priest.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, my range was kind of 4 to 5 octaves at one point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one, if I didn't do it right, I had to have in-ear monitors and everything because the songs that had those fucking high falsettos, it's hard to pull off. Like, you need, and it doesn't matter whether you're just screaming,
yeah,
whether you're singing. Like, we've all seen bands where the dude's blown his voice out on tour and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like where it lets you down.
Yeah, it does, you know, like, oh, it's happened to everyone, man, you know. It's everyone got to,
yeah.
You know, it's got to happen, but, you know, hasn't happened to me. I haven't been in this situation where I've been lucky enough to do 30 fucking shows in a row. Hopefully one day,
yeah,
corpses crossed, we'll get it, yeah, you know, but I just think when you start to talk loud and that, like, even after you're playing, you try to talk to people over the merch desk.
That's the worst bit.
And when I come off stage, and then I start to talk, but that's what really hurts, because you got to let your voice do its shit, man.
Yep.
And cool down and, you know, have a cigarette, smoke-o, and things like that. So, yeah, that's usually what will kill my voice, as well as trying to talk loud after you've come
100%.
Off. 100%. Yeah, you know, it's
that's when it bullshit. Dies in the ass.
Yeah, it does.
You'll come off stage, you're like, oh, yeah, I've done my work, I can feel it, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
Then you talk to cunts over the other bands for 3 hours, and then you go home and you got fucking nothing.
Because you aren't using your vocal cords to talk. When you're singing death metal, or the way that I do it, whatever you want to call it, everyone's got their natural tone. Your tone will come from your throat. You don't have to worry about getting the tone because you're naturally going to have the tone. The way to do it is to use your core. That's where your power comes from. So it doesn't matter. And when I first started to sing, I tried to sound like Chris Barnes or George or fucking Glenn Benton or Joe Patrick from fucking Broken Hope. But then I'm like, hang on, what the fuck do I sound like? And then when I started to use my tones, oh, whole new level. Now you can start to hit these pitches and do all these other fucking things, and without using your throat.
You don't get the fatigue.
It's all from your gut, you know, like, I'm pretty sure I'd give awesome deep throat, because I can open my throat up fucking massive to push out that amount of air.
All right, I'll hit you up later.
Yeah, you know it, but it was the thing that I seen that helped me, was a guy put a camera down his throat to his esophagus thing. It looks like a little anus, pretty much.
Yeah.
And when you make the noise of a balloon, well, that's exactly what you've done inside. You've lifted your throat, you're flitting your esophagus out, you've done all that shit to make that noise. So when you scream, you can go for 1,000,000 miles an hour.
Mm.
Exactly the same, but to go fucking roar, you've opened everything up. It's like a balloon. You can blow a balloon up and hold that forever. You blow that balloon up and let it go all out, that air goes real quick, but that's powerful. So that's what's happening in that with your lungs and that. So that's why, whether or not you sing on full lungs or half lungs or things like that, know when to take your breaths. You know, if you can't breathe, you're going to pass out.
Yeah, that's when I used to lose my voice, was when we'd do a cover and I'd try to sound exactly like the CD. But when I screamed and did it my way, I never lost my voice.
Yeah, because you're doing what's natural for you, your tone. Doing other people's tones without you actually realising you're doing a lot of other fucking shit in your throat and that, I'm pretty sure of it, because you have to do something to sound like someone else, you know. So if you're keeping your, and the whole part of doing an original or doing a cover anyway, is by giving it your sound, giving it your little twist. Who the fuck wants to hear it, how it's done? You know, you've got to put a little bit, play the music the right way, but your vocal cords should still come out, because you're all going to be in different tunes and shit anyway, you know, so... We done one when we done Fallen Heroes, and we done Slayer, and then we done Megadeth, the one that they done the cover with Sex Pistols,
Anakin. Yeah.
We done it that fast and that hard at that show. No one even knew what it was. Only thing you could understand was, right now! You know, just grill the whole thing away, man. And people were like, what songs are you playing? Oh, Anarchy. What? When? You know, yeah. No one fucking knew.
That's funny.
But put our own twist to it and double kick the fuck out of it, man. You know, yeah. Two radio on plus on the fucking kick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was good. Our little twist of doing, if you're going to do a cover, you might as well fuck it up a little bit.
You ever thought of doing a Maiden cover?
I actually want to do a bit of a single side project where I just do a whole lot of covers because I want to do, like, George Thorogood, Bad to the Bone. I want to do Werewolves of London. I want to, you know, like, all the old school cool shit, you know, Pink Floyd, things like that, you know, fuck, throwing Elvis in there, fucking...
Full brutal style?
Yeah, done with guitars and done properly.
Are you talking properly. 6 feet under sort of shit?
Yeah, yeah, suffering it up, man.
Yeah.
But you'll know what it is. Like, I wouldn't do it with the band. It'd be a bit of a side project. You know, just invite people. Hey, bro, do you want to do the guitars for fucking Can I Play with Madness? Or, you know, Jesse Lee, want to do something? Or, you know, someone want to do something? And so you'll never play it live. It's just, you know, something that, as a musician and that, just something of sense of accomplishment, I suppose. Just to say, you know, these are the songs I liked and I wanted to do them better and I fucking did.
Well, there's the two aspects. There's the getting up and playing it live, but I've got 70 songs I've recorded myself.
Yeah.
And recording them and creating them is just as fun as playing them.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's, I think it's just for me for personal satisfaction that this is something that I've always wanted to do. And, yeah. You know, just a bit of a side project. Rape for myself, you know.
Nice.
That's what I think too.
So when are you bringing out the next album?
The next Suffer album, we're about 3 songs into it at the moment. I've been writing this one that I've called Soul. And I've been writing that for, 6 months easy. It's on and off. So we've just been busy with doing the other one. So hopefully, like, we want to have it out kind of mid-next year.
Mm-hmm.
Get it all out in that... have the same artist, Mortella Brutal Arts, that fellow that does all our artwork and that for us. Ashley Large, he's the guy that I like to record my vocals. He's a real cool dude to work with.
There's a sick gun.
Yeah, he is. And he was also, as most of you know, was the drummer in Beat the Fetus for the 2 songs.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, cool.
Yeah. We, Damo had left the band. He wanted to do it. I wasn't keen on it because there's no point for him to drum the songs and not be in the band anymore. We didn't have anyone to do it. We love Ashley Ludge and Ashley Ludge loves us. So we asked him, bro, you want to do these 2 tracks?
He's a fucking good drummer.
Fuck, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's fucking amazing. So, yeah.
He's another guy, though. He can play anything and anything.
Anything.
But he plays to the song.
Yeah.
He's not in there so that everyone could say, look, he's not in there with a sign saying, fucking look at me, cunt. He's in there to make the song, you know.
Yeah, well, he's done both our albums for us. And not that, he's just like, oh, no, cool dude, you know. He's just really easy to work with, you know, like some riffs and that could be a bit tricky for me to do, you know. It's because he's relaxed, I'm relaxed, everyone's relaxed, and it's really cool. So you don't really feel any pressure. You know, you can go for a durry, a smoker, have a beer, get shit back together and go in there and fucking sort it out, you know. There's never really... And I think that's the best part about recording and things like that, because I've never done it before, is to work with people that you're comfortable with, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I've always had respect for Ash, obviously, with his drumming, with Claim the Throne and the work that he's done and that, and for him to work with me and for me to be the guest vocalist on their new fucking album.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's pretty cool.
I heard your fucking growls in there.
I haven't heard it yet. I just got the album... And teaching that Mr. Caparotti come and dropped it off for us, so yeah.
It's good, man. It's a fucking good record. Again, like, if they get that right lucky break, they'll take off.
Oh, they should have had it in Forge and Flames anyway, because
that was a great album.
That was fucking brilliant, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of my trucking albums that I truck to during the days.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really like that album, eh? So I was actually surprised that they didn't get a fucking sign up from that. And if I don't get one off this, because I've heard little bits and pieces, but I'll go away and have a listen to it before we go to Napalm. And,
good shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll be pretty cool.
Nice, man.
Pretty sure.
Well, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
I love your artwork, too.
Yeah. But he's fucking brilliant, man. I hey, bro, how's it going? It's 6 here from Suffering Most. Hey, man, what do you got for me? And I'll basically write him out what we want, which is generally the song, and he just does it.
On his own. Just
He just does it, and he comes in with a few ideas and that, and he really captures what we want, and we've gone with a bit of a theme going, like with Victor Rattlehead and Eddie, we've got our man, his name's Bob, Butcher of Bitches.
Okay, nice.
And and it was actually, Cannibal Corpse have got him on their fucking cover and that, mate. He's Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Cannibal Corpse is stealing our shit.
All right.
Fucking, oh shit, you're not. He's got the blue jeans on like our guy. He's got a white singlet on like ours, all skinny, junked out. They've got themselves a Bob.
Yeah, weird, you'll Bob. Have to fucking tag to him with a machete.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they could maybe let us open one of their shows for them next year when they come here, because we know they're on tour, we know they've done it, and if I don't get the opportunity to open for them, well, I'm probably going to quit.
I think that's a pretty good fucking chance, man.
Yeah, well, I'm
hoping. You guys are perfectly suited for that show.
Yeah, well, I've been told that Alex Webster chooses all the bands and that he does it with, so if he goes, oh, nah, Suffering Rock Sock, oh, bro, I'm going to cry. I need to go home and get raped by my mama.
All right, man. Okay, I want to play a game with you called Cunty Questions.
Oh, sounds good.
It's good, all right. So, we'll start off easy and we'll get worse. So, on a scale of 1 to 10,
yep.
What's your favourite genre of pornography?
Dude, I am a full-blown ass man, eh?
No, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, 1 to 10. 1 to 10.
I just like frying people's brains with questions that don't make sense. 10 asses?
Yeah.
10 asses, cool. All right. Okay, now we get into the dirty ones. So, alright, you can have, you know Melania Trump, right? Trump's wife?
Okay.
Yep, you know what she looks like?
Kind of, yeah, blonde.
No, his wife's the Russian-y hot bird.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, she's hot.
Yeah, I don't really do American stuff.
Alright.
Okay, carry on.
Alright, I'll do another one.
No, this
one's better. This one will work better. Alright, I've got a gun to your head.
Yep.
Okay, you got 3 options to survive.
Yep.
You got to go down on Pauline Hanson every day for a year.
Yeah.
But you got to make her come every single time.
Righto.
All right. Option 2, no sex or jerking off for a year.
Okay.
And option 3, Katy Perry or anyone else you find super attractive, take your pick, has to shit in your dinner every day for a year and you have to finish every meal.
I'd probably do the first one and go down on Helen Hunt, unless you're getting some...
Pauline Hanson?
Yeah, yeah.
You go down on Pauline Hanson?
Yeah, fuck yeah, man.
What the fuck?
Yeah, why not?
I can think of plenty of reasons.
No, that'd be alright.
All those years in a fish and chip shop, that'd be a manky old cave.
Oh, remind me of home. Dad worked in the fish sheds.
Okay.
Yeah, fucking sweet.
Well, there you go. It would make me upset, but it's a happy memory for you. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Alright, well,
that's pretty easy.
So.
That's good.
Alright, so another one. There's a nuclear holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going into the bunker.
Righto.
And there's 3 other people.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump.
Yep.
Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that runs North Korea. And Vladimir Putin.
Yep.
Who do you reckon you'd kill first?
Well, one's the fattest one out of them.
It's probably a coin toss between Trump and Kim Jong-un.
Oh, I'd kill the fattest one first because I could survive by eating his meat for longer.
Yeah, that's my thoughts too.
Yeah.
And I think... See, I don't know.
I reckon it'd be cool to have Donald Trump around because, you know, it'd be a consistent comedian act.
He'd have good stories.
Yeah, he'd have good... And what was the other dude?
Kim Jong-un... Vladimir Putin, the guy that runs Russia.
Oh, yeah, now kill him too.
I would want him on my side because he was in the KGB, man. Like, if the other two step out of line, he'll just fucking destroy...
Yeah, but the world's dead anyway, so you might as well fuck those other two off. Eat the fat one. Kill the other one and have a yarn with Donald Trump.
Yeah, until he pissed you off and then
kill him. Well, you're going to have to kill him eventually because you're going to run out of fucking meat.
And you would get sick of hearing his shit at some point. He'd be like, oh, you know, I'm the most popular person left on Earth.
Wouldn't it be good to get him to eat his tongue bit by bit each day?
Just chew a little bit off.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I like that idea.
That's good.
All right, so, and this one, the best way to break up with someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, put it in perspective, it's a chick, you've been with her for ages, a couple of years. You found out she's cheating on you.
Yeah.
She's spending all your money. She's a right cunt.
Right, brother, you've just seen my last relationship.
Mine too. So, the first way, you take her to dinner, and you say, oh, you need to go and take a piss, and then you just fuck off from the restaurant and don't tell her. You go home, clean the house out before she's got a chance to get home.
Mm-hmm.
So, the option 2 is replace her birth control pills with testosterone and leave her because she's growing a beard.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be with some bitch with a beard.
Better than yours.
Yeah, exactly. My beard is terrible. And the last option is an unfortunate car fire. I like the idea of fucking off on someone during dinner.
But, you know, the best... I'd probably go for that because people that know me, when I don't say anything, that can mean anything. Silence to woman is worse. If you say nothing and you let them do the thinking, they'll fucking destroy themselves. Yes. Woman, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is say nothing.
Yeah.
And they will have this whole fucking conclusion
yeah.
of what the hell's going down. And nowhere near it. It's because bitch, you got caught cheating. You were sucking fucking dick. That's why. But they'll make up this other whole big story. All yeah. by saying nothing. So I'll go for the nothing and clean the house out. And have a shit on your side of the bed.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like the idea of an unfortunate car fire, you know?
Yeah, well, my children may be in there. If the children weren't in there?
No, they're not in there.
Oh, well, they're in the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, celebrate.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I would sit there with some fucking marshmallows and roast them and watch my ex burn.
I seen a thing on Facebook, how would you put your ex out if she was on fire? And I replied with a chainsaw.
Brilliant.
Yeah, well, you know. Fuck, slow the man. Fire down, chop it up into pieces.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then, you've got something to eat?
Yep.
There Perfect. All right, man, this has been good fun.
So, I've got one question for you.
What's that?
If you could go into a restaurant, any restaurant,
yeah.
and order human meat
yeah.
to try, like yeah. as a meal,
yeah.
as a main course, would you do it? Yes or no? Would you try Mankind?
For me, it would depend how the person died.
No, it's a yes or no question.
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
No.
Well, what if he was farmed just like fucking cows? Because there's no difference in that. Go to McDonald's and get your fucking meat burger.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't try Mankind?
I would if it was someone that needed to die, like a pedophile or something.
Oh, okay, well, this is the situation. You're going out
All right.
for dinner with your missus.
Yeah.
You're sitting down at a nice restaurant. Yes, I think I have a bit of human thigh tonight. Lovely. Oh, I like the thigh, honey. That's beautiful. What are you going to have? Sure, have the plain old fucking boring chicken again, dude. Yeah, right.
Is it free range? Like, are they in a battery house, like battery hens? Or?
No, it's not one of my torture chambers. No, okay. No, these are free, willing vegans to die for to save animals so you can eat them instead of an animal.
Oh, so it's a vegan that's
willing... I just decided okay. to throw that
all
in
right.
there.
Okay, so it's a vegan.
Threw it all. It's an animal's rights person. That don't like animals to be killed, so they've sacrificed themselves to go in the McDonald's burger.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. I'd order two.
Okay, so you do that.
Yeah.
So if you went into a restaurant and you sat down with your missus, she got the plain crap fucking chicken again, you're going to order human thigh.
I don't know about maybe breast.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, that's yeah. It's a muscle thing. But
yeah, yeah.
So you'd give it a go.
Probably.
Why yeah, not? High five that yeah, shit. Man.
Cool. All right, man.
Good start.
Do you want me to chuck one of your songs up at the end of the episode?
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
Well, because this is a family show, might as well be Beat the Fetus.
Beautiful.
Because it is...
Beat the Feet?
Yeah, Beat the Feet. Yeah, every kid's got to walk to school.
They do have to.
Oh, you see that one I shared with that chick having a baby on the side of the street?
Oh, I did see that.
That's fucking horrendous.
Jesus Christ. Did you look at that kid and want to beat it to death?
I actually looked at the mum and thought, fuck, bitch, you're pretty loose. You should have taken it up the arse. How did you even get pregnant just to pull your pants out, spit it on out of the sheet and then try to eat some fucking rice?
Jesus Christ.
I know.
All right. John Ryan 666, everybody.
Thank you very much.
This track is Beat the Fetus by Suffering Ripe. Get it up, you cunts.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Suck a dick. We'll be right back.
Hypermanic Noise.